Well, Richard Bailey, thank you for joining us today, and we just look forward to this little bit of update on your ministry. We had on our prayer sheet the prayer request that you sent, but then we'd like to pray for you as we close out in a half an hour or so. We'll pray for another 10 minutes maybe, but just how about give us an update on your situation with your family situation and your church, and just kind of help us understand sort of the context in which your church exists there.
Okay. So you say we got about 30 minutes. Is that what we're looking at?
We'll go back and forth for about 30 minutes, and then we'll pray for another 10 minutes or so.
Okay. That sounds great. Appreciate it. Hey, Bubba, I talked to Carolyn the other day, so I just want to say hey. Family update. So we've been here 10 years. I think you remember, we left Montgomery in 1991. Had two boys then had a third one when we were in Louisiana. So we came here in 91 with our then 14-year-old son, who's now 25. And he was our youngest here. So he is graduating from university this year, Australian University. He's an Aussie. He's been here long enough. He'll probably never leave. He's graduating journalism, and been living with some friends, you know, for years on that. TC, she works, part-time in the emergency department at the largest hospital in town. So Perth is 2 million people. So you can imagine they're busy all the time with COVID and everything else. She's been doing emergency medicine for about 30 years and, has always loved that. And then she teaches the girls group, and does, you know, pastor wife stuff. Our two other sons, family wise, so Wilson is our middle son. He's 30. God, I'm getting old now. He's 37. He lives in Salt Lake City. He's not married. He does, commercial electrical contracting, oil and gas stuff mostly. Maybe moving back to Louisiana. Not going to church. Both he and Duncan have stepped away from church, so that's a big burden on us. But yeah, you can pray for them. And then Rich is 39, so he's our oldest. He and his wife Melinda live in Baton Rouge. We have two granddaughters. One is now three. And the other one was born in December. And so we've seen them once. We've seen the oldest one time because we hadn't been out of the country in 2 years. So I'm going to baptize. Hopefully we're going to get to travel to the U.S. In April and May, and I'm going to baptize my granddaughter then. So they're active in a church down in Louisiana. So that's an update on the family here. What about our church? What about the context? So we came here 10 years ago and took over a church that had been going for about 10 years. The pastor was also a medical doctor, and he couldn't do a practice and pastor a church. So I came and took over that role. We had been looking for something else to do. We've been in Louisiana for 22 years at a great church, but just felt like the Lord wanted us to do something different. And so here we are doing something different. So 53 was a little old to go to the mission field, but we came on anyway, making that big change. So our church is, it's 2/3 Asian. So I stepped into a church. I should have studied Mandarin rather than Australian history. So you have a church. We have our church is about 80. 84 people, 5 people on Sunday morning. We counted up this morning, we have 8 different countries representative in that little church, you know, that number. So they're from all over. So everyone comes from a strong evangelical background, or evangelical, but as far as the word Presbyterian, just they're still getting their heads around what that means to be Presbyterian and what a session does. But I think God brought a lot of the Asians here to save the church in Australia. because they come in, the first generation, the second generation are very spiritually minded. They're losing their kids like everywhere else, but Australia is a country that doesn't care a thing about Jesus. Only 15% of the people might go to church. For white Anglo, the white Anglo Aussie churches are dying. The old line ones, there's no God-shaped vacuum in an Australian. And part of it is the country does so well. I mean, besides COVID, you don't need Jesus. They don't grow up going to church. There's no church background, and very, very few people have a church background at all. You would be surprised to think you could run into a very intelligent Australian who really doesn't know who Jesus is. Who just doesn't. So it's all about getting to know your neighbors. You know, they'll do anything for you, but they won't let you pass that first level of friendship, you know, just knowing their name and stuff. But yeah, so anyway, back to our church. So we're at that growth point of, doing a lot. We do as much as we can at home. We've started talking to a developer about buying the second floor of a building, and using it for a church, for our church building. It would seat about 180 in the sanctuary area. That'll cost us about $1.2 million to just get an empty floor. That's how much things cost here. But yeah, we've got an active, that's again, just I talking, sorry, I ramble all over the place. And so we're looking towards that. So we have all the different activities that you would have going: women's ministry, men's ministry, university and career ministry, high school ministry, all those things that we do. And we're at that point where we really need some more help, some more leadership, all our people kind of worn out. They run everything. But yeah, we're excited. We work. So back up a little bit. So Mission to the World works with, we don't just go out and plant churches on our own. So we work with the Westminster Presbyterian Church denomination here in Australia. There's two denominations. The big one is the Presbyterian Church of Australia, also PCA. And then the other one is the Westminster Presbyterian Church of Australia. So in 1993, Mission to the World helped found the Westminster Presbyterian Church, here in Australia. They're our national partners. About 20 churches throughout Australia, mostly over here in the West. And so we work with them. They're our national partners. So we plant churches with them. So our churches become Westminster Presbyterian Church churches. So that's the denomination we work with here. I've raced through some stuff there, but that's basically the where MTW is here. We have a team in Perth and a team in Sydney. A guy named Jim Jung he works with Korean. He has a Korean church in Sydney. And it's doing quite well. We have a church plant here, down in the port area of Fremantle. It's doing very well with another Mission to the World family. We have a rural ministry out with Aboriginals, in the area of Brookton. A couple called the Writers, do that. I did my first Aboriginal funeral out there 2 weeks ago. That was very interesting to have, 200 or 300 Aboriginals there. And that was the guy was a believer, and it was a great funeral. But yeah, that was a little different. So yeah, that's our church context. Any questions on that?
One of the prayer requests, or just maybe part of the report at least, was your church been going for a little while, but only recently, last couple of years, particularized, and so you're still sort of in the building phase, perhaps, in terms of officers And even though you've got kind of you described a fairly normal sounding range of ministries too, but still building.
So our, the three elder families that were part of the founding body 20 years ago, they're kind of worn out by now of being that. So we've got one elder, Ming Kong, is a great guy. He's in training. He'll be, and another man named, Yuman Yong, is in training as a deacon right now. So they'll be, tested in a couple of months and elected, after that, to, bring on some more leadership, for the church. It's been a very hands-on church. Everybody does something, in the church. So that's mm-hmm. been an answer to prayer that those men will come on and one of the elders will rotate off and, have a break, for that from the leadership. So we've been just as an interest for Australia is a big country, as you know. That's one thing I had to convince people. You know, a lot of people think Australia is about the size of Texas, but Australia sits on top of the United States. Yet it's only 29 million people. So that's why their healthcare works so well. Everything works well. Well, it's a 30% tax rate. That's one reason it works well. But each state is very independent. They didn't have a civil war to, you know, for the federal government to gain a lot of powers. So during COVID and things, so the prime minister can say what he wants, but the states don't have to do it. So Western Australia has been basically shut down. Nobody could come in and out. The country's been shut down. Now it's opening up. Our state is just opening up 2 days ago. Basically from 2 years, you couldn't even travel from state to state hardly. That's how shut down we were. So we're opening up now, but it's just individual. So each state is its individual country almost in Australia. Just a little trivia about the country there.
Let me pause. Go ahead.
What are your climate there?
Well, so we're on the West Coast, which a lot of people don't know exists. So over east is Sydney, Melbourne, all the big places, you know, the Harbour Bridge and the Australian Tennis Open. And then over here in Perth, is all the way across the country. It's like flying from New York to San Francisco. Our weather is kind of like San Francisco, and Cape Town, a lot of wind. It's always windy here. Most every day you have wind. It's hot. It gets over 100. We'll go two, three weeks with over 100 degree days every day. We do a mission out in Brookton, during the summer and it'll be over 100 degrees every day out there. And then it's kind of like, it's the summer is very hot. But you have the beach. We have beautiful beaches. Until we moved, we lived 20 minutes away from the beach and we could just run down there and cool off. So Perth has beautiful beaches and everything. And then it'll slide into, right now we're sliding into fall. So it'll be cool. And then the cold, it never gets that cold. I mean, it's into the 40s. They think it's cold. they think it's cold, but it's really not. It gets into the 40s and it'll just be, that's when the rain comes during the winter time, is when all the rain happens. It might get into the 30s, but rarely, stays in the 60s, rainy and wet for about 2 months. That's when everything grows. So everything turns green in the winter time and turns brown. And then you get to spring. Everything's gorgeous again, pretty, and then, get into summer once again, where it's just hot with no rain. But it's pleasant. There's no humidity here. So unlike Montgomery, where you get wet walking from your front door to your car, here there's basically very little humidity. So it's a very pleasant place to live. It's the business center for the oil and gas and the mining of Australia. So Australia has some of the purest iron ore in the world. We're connected to China in that, but the mining industry is massive here and huge. Oil, LP gas, the largest LP gas processing plant in the world was built here. So a lot of the average age of a, so the average age in Australia is about 38 or 39. So young people come here, start families. There's just families everywhere. Start families and fly in and fly out to the coal mines. I mean, not the coal mines, the gold mines and the oil and gas and all the oil, iron ore. So most of the, everything revolves around that. And again, it's a multicultural, you know, TC and I were sitting out having coffee, yesterday afternoon and, you know, there's a family talking Mandarin on the other side of the fence. There's zero lot lines here. So your neighbor is on top of you. You can reach across the fence to borrow a cup of sugar. So, you know, there's Mandarin there, lots of Muslims on my, in my street, in my neighborhood, pretty strong Muslim area. They're out walking, very conservative Muslims. The women are out walking in the afternoon because that's when their husband comes home from work. They can't go out of the house, but the other Muslim women you'll see all over the, you know, they're in town just like everyone else. Lots of Hindu, there's a Muslim temple down the street, a Sikh temple, close to where we're going to build our new building, a big, massive Sikh temple, and a Buddhist temple next to a friend of mine's church just down the road. So again, all those religions are here in Australia. And it, yeah.
Other questions?
Very interesting.
Got several other people here.
Do you find that in the Australian culture you experience more reaction to gospel and discipleship as indifference or hostility?
You get some of both. So I would say the average, I think you look at it on two levels. The average Australia is just indifferent. He doesn't care about Christianity. He doesn't do church. He knows about it, but it never enters his mind to go to church or do anything. I did a wedding a few years ago and there were two girls there who said that was the first time they'd ever stepped into a church in their life. They'd never been inside one. So you have that, you have a lot of just indifference. Australia is a land of, the older Australians, like Australians just, I do what I want to do and nobody tells me what to do. That's kind of the Australian mentality of the old, white Australian. Like this is, we just do what we want to. So the church is seen a lot of times as authority. The word Calvinist is a bad word here. That means an authoritarian. Now on the other level, right now there's, in the last few years, there's been a tremendous amount of political activism, of the gay community to basically smash Christianity. So they've taken the upper hand, in the political world here, and they passed a marriage law that basically said, you know, anything is marriage. Anyone can get married. So it redefined marriage, but they've used that to go against Christian schools, to go against churches. They set up tribunals that a pastor can be brought before if they think he's preaching against homosexuality or LGBTQ. They have the upper hand in the political world. So, and they are aggressively going after churches and Christian schools to target them and force them to hire LGBTQ staff people. And what you're getting ready to look at is the Christian schools may, most all, even Christian schools get public money, government money, because it's cheaper for them to fund part of a Christian school. That's under assault. So yes, there's a very active political movement against Christianity to basically knock all influence of Christian things out of Australia. Now, what they're going to be left with, I don't know, because as you know, the Judeo-Christian principles are under the, you know, that's what holds the country together. It wasn't a Christian country when it was founded, but it wasn't a non-Christian country either. What they're going to be left with, I don't know. So again, your average neighbor across the street, my neighbors, they're good people. That's the one thing you learn is that, you know, my neighbors, they don't go to church. They don't care about church, but you know what? They want their kids to do right. They want to be moral. They want to send them to good schools. They want to get good jobs. They're active. They coach their baseball teams. They do have baseball here. My son plays it. And he's very good. They do all the little league stuff, but they're not Christian. They could care less about Christianity and Christ. So most are indifferent, and that's good for you. But I don't have to do anything against, but on a political level, the church is really under fire. Like we're all having meetings right now within our pastors are meeting together saying, what are we going to do when this happens? And how are we going to handle it when this happens? And are we going to write statements of what we believe and what we hold to? And how's that going to stand up? We're in legal court. All our churches are having those meetings, sessions and with lawyers to figure out what we're going to do when we get smacked. So it's on a political level, the church is being under assault.
Hey, Richard, what else are you doing with MTW in like Southeast Asia?
Hey, Alan.
Hey,
you got a turkey lined up if I show up in April? Let's see. Just a little side, you know, Alan and I, we went to school a little bit when we were roomies at Alabama. We mostly hunted, and that's why I didn't get in law school, but Alan was smart enough that he did get in med school. I'm the country director for Australia also. Look over out for all the people in Australia and also New Zealand somewhat. I do what the things of country director, give vision and recruit people and figure out how we're going to get people. Right now we're meeting with actually an attorney on Thursday because it's very hard to get visas to get people in here. We've had to create Missions of the World Incorporated Australia, because the tax rate is so high. So I have to report my taxes here and in the U.S. So I get double taxed. So we're trying to knock that down some. So I'm country director. I'm also a member of the Asia Pacific member care, for Mission to the World. We have a team of about 10 people when Mission to the World did their reorganization, they realized we just really don't do a very good job at all of caring for our missionaries. So we put together a team that, is contacts people. I have a call tomorrow afternoon with two rookie missionaries to check up on them every 2 weeks to find out how they're doing. So I'm part of the member care team also for Asia Pacific. So that outside of being a full-time church planter.
Well, you know, I found Caroline and Carter evidently were on Zoom call with you recently about that. They are officially with MTW now.
Good.
And we'll be in Thailand later in the year.
Yeah, I talked to their friend Ty. Yeah. He's one of the rookie guys that I talked to. They're all excited. Thailand is a great team. That's a good team in Thailand. They'll be well supported, and they'll enjoy it. And then I can go up there for holiday and visit them. When you live over here, it's really cheap to fly anywhere and holiday. And doing that. So yeah, I'm excited for them. So yeah, Mission to the World's tried to forge ahead. We've basically been on hold, but, finally things are opening back up in the world for MTW.
Other questions?
Is it true you actually go to Bear Exploration Center when you were elementary school?
Well, they call it Bear School.
Is to go it to a
to Bear is what he asked.
Which bear?
The Bear Exploration Center.
I'm not sure what the question is.
He's asking if you went to Bear Elementary School.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Yes, I did. Is that where you go?
Yes, that.
It was the best. It was the best. There was no better school than Bear School.
Have you visited
the Barrier Reef? Have you visited the Barrier Reef yet?
Great Barrier.
No, but we. So the Barrier Reef is on the other side of the country, but we have a reef here that's known as Ningaloo Reef on our side, which we think is better than the Great Barrier Reef, because you can actually just put on your scuba tanks and come off the beach and go into it. And here, let me see if I can show this background. Too late. My wife, TC, we were up there on this reef, and we swam with whale sharks back in July. So we actually swam. They find one coming towards you, and you hop in the water, and you tread water, and then you swim beside it about 3 meters away, and then it goes on, and then you go find another one. So we swam with whale sharks and saw some other whales and things. So, and yes, we see kangaroos all the time, so they actually just hop around, and all the things that the nature shows tell you will kill you, they live around us, but they don't bother us, and we don't bother them. But yeah, lots of kangaroos, lots of emus when you go just outside the country. So kangaroos are kind of like white-tailed deer. They run into cars all the time and, smash them up. And, yeah, lots of interesting wildlife here. So my son scuba dives. So he's seen sharks, and you'll be swimming at the beach, and all of a sudden everybody will get out of the water, and a great white shark will be coming down the beach, and they follow him in a helicopter, and when he gets far enough away, everybody goes back in the water. It's just kind of part of life in Australia, because everybody swims. So most schools require swimming as for their kids, their students. So if you were here, you would be all about the beach, swimming, learning to surf. They would require it here. My son learned. So our son, just through his school, got his scuba diving certificate, his beach rescue certificate, and one other certificate. Yeah. His boating certificate. And that was through his school. Pretty good, huh? Wouldn't you like to go to school here? Come on over.
Other questions?
So all the schools are just like, just like they are here. It's primary school. We have a lot of teachers in our church, primary, then junior high. They call it senior high, and then on to university. So everybody can get student loans very cheap. So we paid for our son's school, our son's university, and it cost us a third of what it costs in the U.S. or less. Maybe $2,000 a year for a full-time college student. That's not bad. And everything. Our church also started a classical Christian school. There's a need for more schools here, more Christian schools. So we've helped start a classical Christian school. One of our elders' wives was a 30-year educator, and she had a vision for that. So we've started that too.
Putting that school then in the context you described, the cultural context of very progressive LGBT and so on and so on. How do you, you mentioned you're having the conversations. How do we prepare? But what does that really mean for you in terms of admissions policy or families want to enroll in the school?
It'll mean, basically self-funding. It'll mean not taking any government money, so we don't get on the radar and get assaulted that way. There was a school, unfortunately, in the middle of, at the same time, some legislation that would have protected churches. It was called kind of a faith protection bill, was coming before the national parliament. A school over east, for some crazy reason, decided they wanted all their parents to sign a piece of paper saying, we're against LGBTQ and we support you know, traditional values, which is fine. But they wanted, but your kid couldn't go to school there unless you signed that. Well, of course, the national press got hold of it and just wiped, you know, all over the place. And basically that legislation failed. But yeah, so we're facing things like that. But it, for the classical school, it'll mean staying under the radar by being self-funded and, yeah, hoping that no one, you know, hoping that we don't get smacked with some group. It's just starting. It starts in its third year. So yeah, Australia, I mean, first just like it's modern. You know, you think you're, they drive the same cars except the steering wheel's on the other side. Takes about a month to get used to that. So you think you're in the United States, but you're really not. Australians are, they think differently. They're a little more, they're a little more complacent and dependent on government, not quite as independent as Americans, but they're fearless. They'll go try anything. But most times they're just like everyone else. But they don't care about God. They don't care about Jesus. So the church, high rate of burnout and depression and emotional distress in pastors here, very high rate.
Yeah.
As I think we're seeing everywhere. In the church for some reason nowadays. Right.
Yeah, that's certainly been the case, and COVID didn't help at all, you know, here. And I can imagine it wouldn't be any different there in terms of COVID restrictions, maybe. Perhaps you weren't as shut down as some places here in the U.S. were forced to be, but that in itself created a lot of issues for pastors being in the middle of all of that.
Yeah, for sure. They got shut down pretty hard over east, but over west, we just couldn't go outside of our state, which is about half the country anyway. But we didn't have we still have the anti-vaxxers and the but it's not as big an issue here. Again, Australians are very complacent, so most people are getting vaxxed, and if you're not vaxxed, they don't, you know. You may get shit out of things. Like when I go into a restaurant, I have to show on my phone a vaccination certificate, in order to order food. When I go in to eat, we have to have three different apps on our phone to get on the plane, to come to the U.S. to show all our documentation. It's kind of crazy, but at least we have phones to do it on. But yeah, very strict, but. Why do we, you know, again, we came here because they didn't have many trained pastors. That was the struggle. So half the pastors in our denomination are not from Australia. They're from South Africa, England, the U.S. I'm in a prayer group on every Wednesday morning with 12 pastors from our area that are not all different denominations. Only three of them are Aussie by birth. So a lot of the pastors, things come from outside of Australia, but we're finally turning out some young guys. You know, we have like 8 guys under care in our presbytery. So that's good. So that's why I came here. The need was for trained pastors.
Are there any seminaries?
Yes. So MTW helped found a guy named Steve Rarig, came here 30 years ago and some other help. He was part of it. So we have Trinity Theological College. So they're not called seminaries. They're called colleges here. And a college is also a high school, so it gets confusing. So Trinity Theological College here is a very good Reformed. It's an independent Reformed seminary. Really good professors. Two of them are from the U.S. Here over east, there's one in Sydney. That's a Presbyterian seminary. I don't know that much about the seminaries over east, but I know that some of the books I have on my shelf from theological books are from some of those professors over east. So they've got some strong Anglican group here. The Sydney Anglicans are very conservative evangelical Anglicans. But yes, we have some good seminaries here.
How many students in the seminary there close by you?
You know, I can't tell. Close to 100 or more?
Really?
Probably, I think maybe more than 100, 150, maybe more than that. I think they have about 50 or 60 in their MDiv program right now.
Uh-huh.
And they'll turn some out. The problem is getting, so it's one, being a pastor in Australia is not glamorous. You know, if you're in RUF in the States, you know, that's a cool guy. Hey, I'd like to do that. He just sits in coffee shops and teaches and it's cool. Or, and you go to a church and that pastor up there, he dresses nice. He drives nice cars. His kids get, or he makes enough money to go to university, I mean, to go to college. I could be in the ministry. So the ministry is appealing in the United States. Here in Australia, it's not appealing. Pastors don't make much. It's a hard road. You're not respected. There's no respect for preachers. So if the Lord calls you to ministry, it's a definite call to be a pastor in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I'm not saying it's the worst, you know, horrible and bad, but it's just tough.
Right.
Are the churches able to support most of their pastors?
Yeah, when they get past around 100 people, they are, to be able to support. So, you know, I'm supported by MTW, you all through MTW. The church pays me, probably 15%, maybe 20% of what I take in. They give me money to the church here. They contribute to that, maybe 25%. So yeah, the churches that get larger are able to do that. The older denominations here own lots of property and they're able to pay their pastors pretty well. The old denominations, but the younger ones aren't. The Pentecostal churches are big. So Bull Creek Presbyterian is the biggest church in our denomination. They have a congregation of about 450 Anglo, and then they have a bigger congregation, about 350 Indonesians. They have an Indonesian group that meet there. So they would be the biggest, the flagship church of the Westminster Presbyterian Church. And then the big churches, the big Pentecostal churches and charismatic, they have a few thousand people. A lot of them funded out of Singapore. So a lot of the churches come into Australia and their funding's from outside. So they can come in, they're funded from outside and have a lot of money to build a big building right away.
Yeah. Well, Richard, we'd like to transition to prayer time. Any additional prayer requests? You've kind of outlined some of the things we obviously need to pray for, but any additional prayer requests that you'd add to?
I think I already mentioned our property, that our travel back. Just for us, teaching our... We're tired. I'm tired. You know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. And, we're all tired of COVID, but we're also worn out. And I'm just, you know, I'm preaching decent sermons and I'm going through the motions pretty well, but I'm kind of tired right now. So you just pray for my strength. I don't feel overwhelmed or overloaded. Well, I always feel overloaded, but I'm not overwhelmed. But yeah, I'm tired. I'm worn out. But other than that, I think just a general prayer request on the things I sent.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That'd be good.
Oh, would you start us with prayer?
Okay. I'll be glad to. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again the time that we're able to talk to, missionaries that are scattered around the world, particularly this morning with Richard and Missing PC as she's working today. But I just want to thank you for the years of service that Richard has given, starting here at Trinity and then going to Zachary and then Australia. And I do lift him up, the whole family, and give them the strength they need to continue, because I know this has been a very difficult time. And going through COVID day, it's been difficult for us here. So
I pray that you would give him a time of rest. Maybe as he comes home for HMA, that he would be able to relax and regroup and go out and continue the work there. It's so good to hear what's going on there, the churches that are working, but then hearing of the attacks against the church. Lord, I pray that you might even bind Satan, or you would raise up some government officials that would understand Christianity is the strength of their country, even though they don't know it. So that you would continue to use Richard, PCA churches, or all the evangelical churches there working together to make an impact there. Particularly, they have an international ministry. They are reaching people all around the Asian area out there. So continue to use them in a mighty way. And Lord, pray that they might get the property they need to continue their church there. So, but I just thank you for this time to hear from Richard and hear what's going on there. And just, again, thank him for his willingness to go and spend his time and his life to make a difference there. So be with him now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just come before you and just thank for Richard and what he's done and the fact that he's willing to go over to Australia and be a pastor there. Pray, Father, for his upcoming trip home, that things would go well, that there would be no difficulties or shutdowns, and that he would get home safely. Father, just pray for that time that he's home, that he'd be able to see his grandchildren, see his own children, and pray for his family, the boys that are not walking with you, that have stepped away from the church. Pray, Father, that they would, Holy Spirit would work in their lives and change their hearts and bring them back to you. Father, we just thank you for their building over there, with the opportunity to grow and potentially build out their church, make it larger to be able to reach more people, do more things. Pray, Father, for the finances to make that happen. We ask this in Christ's name.
Dear Lord, thank you for this church and for Vision to the World's work in Australia through Richard. Lord, I pray for the groups of pastors in this denomination, the Westminster denomination, as they get together and they think about what is the wisest way to approach this onslaught from the government and from activist groups. Lord, give them discernment and wisdom so that their efforts would not be frustrated like that legislation that didn't pass, Lord, but that you would grant them favor in the eyes of the government officials that hold the power to make or break, granting them favor in this, and that they would leave them alone so that the church may flourish. Lord, I also pray for the eight guys who are under care for either going to seminary or becoming elders in his church. Pray that you would encourage them and give them the education they need to be prepared for what they will face. And Lord, I pray you would raise up people, even in Richard's church, to share the load with him, with his members, and to care for the flock. I pray that you would encourage Richard and his family, especially this day in Christ's name.
As this time of rest comes up, to Richard and wisdom, bring back into you, and like Elijah burning at the bush. Take the rest and the peace that you've given. Take the renewal and the strengthening that only you can provide. And help them in that gift from you. Continue on to the journey that's given him by you.
Heavenly Father, I pray for the Australian people. Pray your Holy Spirit will do a mighty work in Australia, and that many would come to know you, and pray for protection for Richard and TC and these other ministers against these onslaughts. And we know that you're in control of all things, but we just pray that you'll encourage Richard and TC, and give them safe travel home. Christ in the prayer.
Well, thank you for. Go ahead.
Father, we lift our eyes into the hills from which cometh our help. Our help cometh from you, Lord, who made heaven and earth. Father, we do come to you because we know that you are our only hope and the hope of the nations. Father, we seek your face this morning on behalf of the church in Australia. We pray that you will raise up godly leadership in Australia, leaders who will stand for truth and the freedom to worship you. We ask you, Lord, to bind Satan and not allow him to have victory. Give the church wisdom in knowing how to combat these attacks against it. Father, we thank you for Richard and TC and the faithful work that they're doing for your kingdom. And we pray that you'll encourage them in their work and that they may see the fruit of their labor. Renew their spirits and give them a new enthusiasm for the work that you've called them to do. We claim your promise, Lord, that the one who calls is faithful and you will surely do it. Father, give Richard and his team wisdom in choosing and training leadership. Guide them as they guide the church. And Father, we commit them to you and we ask that the gospel will move across the land. Open these hard hearts and that they may receive the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name.
Well, I pray for Trinity, and I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the impact that that church has had. That the not the church building, but the men and women who have impacted mine, TC's life. As our older sons were baptized there, and my call to the ministry came through that church and sitting under the teaching of Dr. Austinson and godly men and just seeing the models before me. I thank you for that church and I pray that it would continue to have that influence in men and women's lives and in Montgomery, Lord, during these times. So again, thank you for Trinity. Thank you for their vision for missions. That's always been there back to Bill Gordy and other men and Bubba Phillips carrying that on and other men who are committed to missions. And I just thank you for that and the tremendous impact that Trinity has had really around the world through the years of all that they've done. Continue to bless that church. Keep godly men in its pulpit. May the word be preached on Sundays and throughout the week so that lives will be changed. And let them have an impact in Montgomery. Lord, you put that church into a special niche of people, of social structure, of money, whatever you want to say, people who need the gospel. So, Lord, let them take it to wherever they are in Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time as well. And just, once again, we thank you for this technology that enables us to talk with Richard far away. And we pray for him and TC, especially in the role that they fill with this congregation and the larger role that Richard fills within the denomination there and the partnership he has with other pastors as they seek to stand firm in the face of many challenges from the culture, from challenges from indifference to more aggressive challenges from LGBT agendas and on. Lord, I pray for them to be strong in your might and your power. And just continue to be reminded of your hand at work in and through him. Let him see the fruit of his labors, as someone else has already prayed. I pray for this Christian school that the church has founded and that you would provide the teachers and the wisdom to conduct this school and that the children and the families who are part of this school would benefit. And these children would grow to know you and to love you, to serve you. Lord, we thank you. just for the encouragement that it is for us to see and hear, see Richard, hear his report. And we pray that you would continue to watch over him and guide his steps as well. We look forward perhaps to see him when they return to the States later this spring. Watch over him, bless him, give him good rest tonight as they rest and prepare him to serve and glorify you tomorrow. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.